So I have a couple of questions I would like to ask you. The first one is your involvement in the World Heritage Convention, your role and your position at the time. If you could kindly describe any of this and any decisive issues you think in the way the convention has been implemented.
Okay, those are two real separate questions.
Yes.
And so let's deal with the first one first. I joined IUCN in September of 1980 as the executive officer of the Commission on National Parks and Protected Areas of the International Union for Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources. That's a real mouthful. So we called it IUCN-CNPPA. And part of my work was to oversee IUCN's contribution to the World Heritage Convention. And I did that for 3 years. And then I became the program director of IUCN. So I still had an interest in World Heritage, but from a slightly less hands-on. And then I was the Secretary General of the World Parks Congress in 1992 in Venezuela,
in Caracas,
mm-hmm. where we had a big World Heritage element. And I was also the Program Director for the Third World Parks Congress in 1992, or 1982, which was held in Bali, mm-hmm. where we also addressed World Heritage issues. So for 3 years, I was the person responsible for World Heritage. And now to move from that introduction into the second part of the question, back in those days, World Heritage was one of a lot of things that I was doing. So I was doing World Heritage while I was also organizing the World Parks Congress for Bali in 1982. And I was able to do things maybe with a little more freedom than people do today. So I actually wrote a publication on an indicative list. I didn't call it that. I called it the world's greatest natural areas, mm-hmm. which was really designed to help people see the kinds of places that were deserving, in my view. You know, so I wrote it. So it was I could say whatever I wanted. And I've looked back at that. And a lot of those places are now on the World Heritage List. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of other areas that I didn't put on that are on the list, too. That was a degree of freedom that I'm not sure we could get away with today. It would be much more difficult. I think that the other element was that because this was just one of many things that I was doing, I didn't give it the attention that we were able to give it later. The budget that IUCN received was about $10,000 a year. So I couldn't visit the World Heritage sites. I didn't have the time. And so I depended more on written comments from people who knew the area and from correspondents and from commission members of our Protected Areas Commission who knew the areas personally. I think that we didn't, we weren't as careful, we weren't able to be as careful as we were subsequently, you know, especially when Jim Thorsell started working on it just about full time. And I actually think it is a full time job, mm-hmm. and maybe even more than a full time mm-hmm. job. But even back then, we were rather strict. And there were some fairly significant challenges, even in those few years that I was running it.
That means so you have been involved in some of the decisive decisions practically for this convention.
Oh yeah, and some of them that I didn't agree with, and I ended up getting in some controversies with some of our respected elders. So you know, one of the things that I didn't agree with, and I still don't agree with, was the Great Barrier Reef nomination, because in my view, I thought that having such a huge area nominated as a World Heritage Site that allowed fishing and a lot of boat traffic and real loose management, and it's all it was big. And I actually thought that they should maybe make a chain of World Heritage Sites along the Great Barrier Reef, because there were activities that were taking place on the Great Barrier Reef that really were not consistent with the ideals of World Heritage.